Hello, welcome to the Ops Team, episode 28, the sometimes weekly, occasionally with four technical evangelists, although we're down to two again this week. David can't make it, some excuse about having a baby this morning.
Kind of valid excuse, but...
Yeah, so congratulations to David and
family. Congrats.
On the arrival of their new little baby. Lots of work for him to do, a different kind of work now than DevOps stuff. Yeah,
no, there are some common points, I guess.
What, fault injection, automated testing.
Yeah, A/B testing.
Baby as code.
Baby as code, okay, well, I like this already.
Who knows? Anyway, so you're stuck with us two for this week. If you're not familiar with the format, where have you been? We go through the same format every week.
Yeah.
We spend about 5 minutes on each of our respective areas. I'm doing double duty again. We're still hiring. And my double duties are on Azure infrastructure and on-prem infrastructure, and Oz is going to cover open source with a mix of DevOps stuff thrown in as well. So hopefully we'll have plenty of useful news and tips and insights into stuff that's happened over the last week or so. So without further ado, does it make sense for me to go first and then you and then me again, seeing as I've got two? So I shall start my timer, and I'm going to cover my Azure stuff first, and then I'll do my on-prem stuff later on. So here we go, let me start my timer. Boom, there we go, we've got my 5 minutes. And the first thing, I really should get the national anthem playing for Great Britain, well, the United Kingdom at least, because there are now Azure and Office 365 availability from the UK, because we've just opened a couple of new data centers in the UK. Now, generically speaking, UK West, it's actually in Wales, and UK South in London, two new data centers where you're able to now run, locate, use Microsoft Azure and Office 365 services, which is a huge deal for organizations who need geographically located data and resources that they can't put elsewhere nearby, perhaps Dublin, Amsterdam, some of the other regions that exist in that area. So this is a huge deal. This is a huge thing for those particular customers who want to use the public cloud but couldn't because of those geographic restrictions. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still a deal. This new region, all the new regions adhere to the trusted cloud principles. So security, privacy, compliance and transparency. I'll provide links to all of this stuff as well. So this means that banking, government, public sector and healthcare can all take advantage of that because we've got the relevant standards in place and stuff is available. And a few of the customers already move into the cloud in the UK. There's an NHS trust, the largest mental health trust, Ministry of Defence, which has got more than 250,000 people. They'll use Office 365 and Azure. So again, it's a great situation to happen to the UK. So yeah, awesome stuff. And I'm very proud of that. It takes a lot of courage to open a data centre in general. Now, with the new regions, can you guess, and this is one for you, not generically for people, how many regions we have available today around the world for Azure?
26.
We did, but with the new UK regions, now we have 28. I was expecting some random guess. And there are six more coming soon for a total of 34, and that's more than any other cloud provider. So yeah, something to bear in mind. I'll provide the links to that. Now, sticking with Azure stuff, backup, I talked about a little while ago, or a couple of weeks back. Azure Backup is now part of the Recovery Services Vault is now part of the ARM model, the Azure Resource Manager model, as of May of this year. Now, you can still backup classic as well as resource virtual machines using Azure Backup in the Recovery Services Vault. But we've also now made it a lot easier for you to manage your backup policies. So more granularity, more centralizing of the management of those backups and policies specifically. Whereas before, it was a little bit of a multi-step process to get all of those things configured and to view them going forward. So there's now improvements in the experience for you actually managing those backup policies through a single window. And the blog post is actually pretty short and sweet, but it talks you through exactly how it all works, what you need to be aware of. They've even got what I think is an animated GIF that shows you a little demo there.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh indeed, yeah. Nice use of the sound effects. Now, we always like to, when possible, give a little hat tip to people in the community who are doing cool stuff, talking about our technology, helping people learn. And it's a great opportunity to build on something we talked about a couple of episodes ago, I think, a little while ago, on automation or Azure Automation DSC or OMS Automation DSC now, as it should be or is known in some circles. Because Ben Galens On Channel 9, so Ben's one of our MVPs. He's actually published part 6 of a series that we've recently talked about on the show. So part 6 of this Azure Automation DSC course that he's produced on Channel 9, going through some of the advanced configurations. So things like custom DSC resources, pre-compiled MOFs, MOF files, how to use parameters, assets, and lots of other things that you may or may not be familiar with, depending on your experience with DSC. So the video is only 25 minutes long, but definitely worth checking out. It's great to learn from, very experienced. And if you're embarking on a new engagement, you want to know a little bit more about Azure Automation DSC, then this is a good course. All 6 parts are a good overview of all of that.
Cool stuff.
Indeed. And that was my 3 things with Azure. Ben showed some good courage there by producing that particular course. So nice work. Nice work, Ben. And yeah, I had nothing more. So with my 30 seconds remaining, I'm going to give back, because it takes courage to give back.
Okay.
It's important to know as well, one thing that we didn't call out was the servers that are going in the UK data centers, no headphone jacks.
It takes courage, really.
It takes courage. Anyway, I'm going to stop my timer so we don't go for the cow. And I shall hand over to you, sir, and I shall restart your timer. You ready for your 5 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. For 5 minutes on open source and DevOps stuff, here we go.
So extending on the Azure Automation stuff, one of our fellow colleagues has a blog post, Greg Oliver. It's called Higher Availability Solution for Single Instance Roles. I mean, when you read the post, you will understand that it's more about resiliency besides higher availability. But the idea is many of the companies have this virtual machine. The application running on that virtual machine doesn't have any HA support built in.
So it's not a HA-aware application.
Exactly. It's not an HA-aware application. Or maybe you don't need to have like 99% blah, 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 blah high availability. You can just, if the machine goes down for 10 minutes, you're just fine.
Yeah.
So they, because of a partner's request, I'm not naming the partner because it's not in the blog post. Because of a partner's request, they just come up with a solution. I really like this as a workaround. Basically, there's a workflow. So the app insights availability test suite just pings the VM. If there's a problem with the replies of the ping, it just deletes the current VM and creates an identical VM.
It's got to be stateless, essentially, then.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, for this partner I'm talking about, it's like there is a controller. So it doesn't have a state. It's just like if there's a new, for example, agent is being provisioned, it needs to connect to the manager. But if that amount of time you're okay with this new agent cannot connect to the controller and try in, like, I don't know, in the next 15 minutes, this is just great. Or maybe you don't want to have 2 or more VMs running because of the cost-saving purposes. Mm. So you can just use this. It's pretty, I'm going to say neat, because I really like as an IT administrator, because sometimes, especially when you're developing some application coming from developers, they're like, hey, we need to have this service running 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And you don't have the option to have 90% of the time. It's either running more than 99%,
yeah.
I mean, more than one VMs, or you just have one VM.
I think most people want their application as up as possible, regardless of whether it's an important or not important application. But yeah, to have that ability to communicate with that agent back and forth, and if it goes down, just automatically spin up essentially a clone of what.
Yeah.
So you'd need all your templates and everything, mm-hmm. all defined, so you can mm-hmm. spin up. Does it spin up from an ARM template, the new deployment?
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
it uses an ARM template, and it uses. I learned this by the blog post. There's something called Azure Automation Variable Assets. So basically,
well, that's what I was talking about in my course. There you go.
Yeah.
So the assets are things like credentials. And things that you perhaps don't want to give directly to the partner.
Exactly.
It calls
exactly.
them. Yeah.
For this example, they are keeping variables like IP address,
yep.
Public, private, and that's the reason they are able to create an identical VM
right.
Of the previous one. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
background.
Nice. There you go. Yeah, tip of the day there.
Yeah. And about the DevOps part, there's again a blog post, What's Brewing in Visual Studio Team Services. It's September 2016 digest. There are a couple of things, but I just want to mention some of them. The first one is about Jenkins. using team services, Visual Studio team services with Jenkins is really getting better and better every day. So right now, for example, with the September update, you can use Jenkins to validate your team services PRs, pull requests. You can use Jenkins CI for your team services Git repository, things like that. So again, if you have a Jenkins workflow, you can integrate Visual Studio team services with your Jenkins workflow already working in your environment. So it's not you need to choose VSTS or Jenkins. You can continue using both. And I mentioned this earlier in episode 26, I guess. But again, it's now easier to copy files over SSH to VMs, especially for CI/CD purposes. You built the application. You need to put the drops, the artifacts to the Linux VM. You can just use SSH now to copy these artifacts. Or, as always, FTP, FTPS. To
it takes courage to use SSH.
It takes courage to use the SSH, especially if you are using, if you don't remember the password you are using for your certificate.
Yeah, takes courage.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Anything else?
Not really.
So was that first tool, was the first tool you mentioned open source, or was it?
Which one?
The first tool that did the automation of the pinging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have the details, the ARM template, everything in the blog post, so they just use this.
Oh, cool. There you go. It's all about sharing. Sharing is caring. Right, so we've not made your cow. Should we just wait for the cow to come in? Anyway? Yeah. It takes courage.
It takes courage not to wait for the cow, I know.
There's the cow. There we go. End of 5 minutes. Good stuff. Cool. Well, as always, we'll provide all of the links to everything that I was and myself talked about under the show note or under the show video in the show notes. So, final 5 minutes for me before we wrap up. I don't know if you want to look at the bring up the Twitter stuff while I'm doing my 5 minutes so that we can be as streamlined as possible. So, 5 minutes on on-prem stuff. Here we go. Boom. There we go. 5 minutes. So, first thing, the technology we all know and love and would like to get hands-on with more recent builds, Azure Stack. As we approach Ignite, which is in a couple of weeks' time, it's kind of like the calm before the storm right now. Ignite, obviously, big conference, our annual biggest conference externally with our IT professionals and that kind of audience. A lot of announcements usually take place, so the news leading up to Ignite is usually quite quiet. So that's why we're not making, there's not a huge amount of noise, a load of new stuff at this point in time. However, there's a good blog post that's been posted on the Azure blog for all things Azure Stack and what's going on specifically with the Azure Stack team in Atlanta at Ignite. So the different ways you'll be able to interact with the team, the different sessions that you'll be able to go to specifically for the Azure Stack. And the nice thing is as well in the blog post is there's a number of overview sessions. There are about a 200 level designed to equip you if you're new to Azure Stack, just what it is, where we are today with Azure Stack, what we expect to release as we go forward to general availability, whether you're an IT pro, developer, business, TDM, technical decision maker, you're going to find them useful. And like I say, they're higher levels, learning about what's going on. And there's actually a good one on the State of the Union, so what's happening across Azure Stack with Vijay Tiwari and Natalia, I can never say her second name.
Welcome to my life.
Macavisius. Natalia and Vijay. There's one from Charles Joy and Brad Bartz. Vijay's got another one on operations and management with Azure Stack. And then there's an in-depth Azure Stack architecture, which is actually a 400-level, deeply technical session. So, yeah, if you want your mind blown with everything that's going on under the covers, definitely worth checking out. But then there are a separate set of technical sessions around about the 300 level plus, so maybe slightly higher. Deep dive into the Azure Stack IaaS, becoming an Azure Stack infrastructure rock star, which I hope most of you will be. Templates for Azure Stack, so Azure Resource Manager templates. Discussing DevOps, Microsoft DevOps on Azure Stack, which I think could be very useful for the audience who tune in for this.
Definitely.
And then hybrid apps on Azure and Azure Stack. So the nice thing is about all of these sessions is they don't conflict. So you can actually go to all of them. If you really have this desire to learn as much as you can about Azure Stack, the sessions, they all go one after another. So there's not conflicting times. So you can attend them, which is great. So that's a lot on Azure Stack, at least what's coming up at Ignite. Now, OMS. The great thing is about some of these Microsoft technologies, OMS being one, Windows Server being another, Azure Stack is another. more and more as we're listening to IT professionals, customers, administrators, operations people through what we call user voice. So if you say, well, I'd really like product X to do this, listed on user voice, people vote on it, and if it's successful, then we'll try and get it in the product. And there's a nice post that the team have released on the OMS, the Operations Management Suite blog, how to generate an alert in Microsoft OMS when a computer is down or unreachable. You think, okay, well, that's fairly useful. I'm using OMS to monitor stuff. I detect one of the machines is not responding. How do I know that it's not responding with an alert? Well, OMS doesn't actually do that natively. It's been raised on the user voice channel, so people have said this would be really useful, and we agree, and we're working on it, but the blog post actually walks you through how to work around that in the interim. So two good scenarios there happening. A, you can get an alert when computers are down or unreachable from OMS, and B, we're actually working on something that customers directly have asked for in the product, which is pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, the product teams are actually really looking at user voice to decide what to work on next. So use your voice.
Keep using the voice and ultimately give the people what they want. You know, if people want certain features, if you give them, they're more likely to use and adopt and buy the product. So that was a little bit on OMS. I'll link to the blog post. It's, even if you're not using OMS or you're not interested in the actual alert and what it's providing, it's just good to know that we're listening. You know, this is happening. So
does it take courage?
It does take courage. Okay. A lot. Yeah.
Cool.
Now, change your direction slightly. Containers. Open source stuff we've talked about. Now I'm going to change to talk about Docker specifically, which obviously links in with all of our open source and DevOps and everything. There's been a great video published to Vimeo, so an alternative video platform, not Channel 9, unfortunately, but you know, we've got to give it to them this time. On the Docker Engine 1.12, so 1.12, the latest mainstream release, deep dive from Mike Coleman, who we know pretty well, lives just down the road in Portland. Technical evangelist at Docker, and he basically gives you a walkthrough of the 1.12 engine. So technical deep dives, mix of slides, demos and stuff. So yeah, definitely worth checking out if you're interested in learning some of the mechanics inside the Docker engine 1.12. And yeah, you can view that and I'll provide the links. And the final thing is a shameless plug for people who can't go to Ignite, because it takes courage to go to a conference.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you can't go, but you want to learn about Microsoft technology, then there may be something that's coming closer to you. So the Microsoft Tech Summits are two-day free technical event training coming to a city near you, potentially, if you live in one of the cities that we're going to. Free cloud training, customize your learning from over 70 technical training sessions and hands-on labs, expert access, so gaining connections with Microsoft engineering, and it's technologies you care about. Productivity, security, networking, big data, storage, communications, identity, mobile, collaboration, hybrid, DevOps. It's not really a technology though, is it? Open source and more. I'm interested in more.
Is it a global thing or just...
It's a global thing. So the nearest city to where we are right now, assuming it's looking at my location on my machine, is Chicago. But there are cities, there are tech summits happening in Taipei, Prague, Toronto, Sao Paulo, Mexico City, Tel Aviv, Johannesburg, Washington, D.C., Singapore, Bangalore, Milan. Sounds like my holiday list to do. Amsterdam, Copenhagen, Seoul. And these range from dates quite close to now and dates well into the future, April, March next year. So yeah, I'll provide the link to the website. It's free. Everyone loves free, and if you can spare the time and if you get it in your calendar nice and early, you can register and yeah, something may come to a city near you. But with that's my 5 or 6 minutes, apologies, but there you go. It needed to be said. It takes courage to go over.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's going on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, huge difference. We have 397 followers now. And we have...
It's gone up by 2, I think.
Yeah. We have 26 episodes and 27 tweets. It's very, very consistent. We lost one of the likes.
Why just went up. I think it's linked to Twitter followers. Perhaps one just...
Yeah, it's like 396 gloomy. It's not even 400 now. Well, but I really like the picture of the latest episode. Like David
well, that's the latest
is doing
published one.
The published one, yeah. David's doing this Titanic thing. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like that.
I'm trying to reach God. You,
yeah,
just
well,
in a different state of mind.
In the good
mind.
Old days when he only had 3 children. Now he's got 4 and his hands are full. But there you go. We'll have him back soon, I'm sure, after his... Oh, no, he's off for paternity now.
Yeah,
it's... Which is 3 months.
3 months. Three months? Even four months?
No, it's 3 months.
Yeah, you would know better than me.
Yes. Not that I've had 3 months, but will be in the future. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have somebody filling the chair soon. We'll put a few invites out, see if we can get perhaps some guest people that we should see.
I think we are going to need to invite some guests. Yeah, otherwise, it's just me.
Well, 1 week we'll sit on different sides.
Yeah.
Spice it up a little bit. Yeah. Right. Cool. So that's all on the tweets. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at the ops team. If you want to email, it's theopsteam@microsoft.com. I'm at Matt McSpirit.
And I'm at AllSpastermajor.
And all of the links to everything we talked about in the show will be available under the video. Yeah, just down there.
Just down there. This is my laptop, but okay.
Yeah, just down there. Just down there. Great. So cool. We'll hopefully see you again on episode 29. See you again. Bye.